You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, this is so perfect, given who our next guest is going to be, Woods. This hour of Men and Woods is brought to you by the Drug Enforcement Agency.
You're kidding. Come on, dude. You can't throw that one by our audience and think that that was an accident.
We're about to talk to Dean Norris, who, of course, played DEA agent Hank Schrader on Breaking Bad. Yeah, this hour of Men and Woods is brought to you by the DEA.
So wild.
Your unused or expired prescription drugs could end up lost, stolen, or simply misused. Keep them safe. Clean them out. Take them back on Saturday, April 24th. To find a collection site near you, visit DEATakeBack.com. What an iconic role in one of the most iconic television shows of all time. Before Breaking Bad, I think, I always recognized Dean Norris. I know that guy.
Oh, he's
I probably
great.
Couldn't have said his known what his name was. After Breaking Bad, of course, I do. And he joins us right now on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Dean, it is great to have you on Ben and Woods here in San Diego. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
There it is.
There's the voice. The voice.
You sound just like Hank Schrader. We're both huge Breaking Bad fans. But as I was doing some research for this interview, I saw you're not really the Hank Schrader. He was a graduate of Harvard University, Woods. I mean, this guy was top of his class. You played the simple man, Hank Schrader, the DEA agent, quite well on Breaking Bad. Was that a stretch for you then?
Well, thank you very much for saying that. But, he was a character, who I love, obviously, and will always love. But he wasn't that simple of a man. He was more of a blue-collar guy, maybe, is what you're trying to say. But I think he was a pretty smart cookie. I know he didn't figure out his brother-in-law for a few seasons, but thankfully he didn't. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the show. So, but I certainly tried to play him, and Vince tried to write him with that he wasn't. He was always on the trail, and when other people would get off the trail, he stayed on it. So he was dogged, and he was in his pursuit of Walt. So
roles come and go. And they come across your desk, and your agent says, "Hey, I like this for you," and they like you for it. Was there a moment shooting that show where you went, "Oh man, this is going to be massive, 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 massive"?
You know, it really crept up on all of us, because you got to understand the first two seasons of that show. People are like, "What? AMC? Where is that? What is that?" You know, they didn't even know where that channel was. And then slowly by the third season, fourth season, and then, the fifth season going into the finale was just, it exploded into this, cultural phenomenon. So, it kind of crept along. There was not a single moment. We always loved it and thought it was fantastic. We being the cast, and, we were like, why don't more people watch this?
We can relate a little bit. Yeah, we relate to that, actually. Yeah, we relate very much on our radio program.
Yeah, Netflix, Netflix in many ways is partly responsible for the success of that show.
Talking to Dean Norris, actor with us here on Ben and Woods. Now, obviously, having a role like that opens the door for other things, and you've got a new project out. So why this show? It's called The United States of Al. It's going to be running CBS Thursday nights. What is it about this show that appealed to you and the role that you've got in it?
Yeah, so many things. I like to try to do the opposite of what I've been doing. So a sitcom is the opposite of a kind of an intense drama show. And it was with Chuck Lorre, who's legendary icon of this format. And most importantly, it's because the show is really about something that's serious, even though it's a comedy. The fact that he's a military veteran who lives in the Midwest. His son, who's a Marine, comes home from Afghanistan with a lot of problems. He brings his Afghan translator with him. And it's a very serious situation that he's kind of dealing with. And yet we deal with it through comedy. So I wanted, if I was going to do a comedy, I wanted it to be about something and not just, you know, jokey, jokey, jokey. And that's really what this show is about. It's got really warm, touching, important scenes. And then it's got just a lot of comedy with us trying to deal with all this stuff. So I love it. And I love that combination of stuff.
Talking to Dean Norris, you may remember him from Breaking Bad here on Ben and Woods this morning. Dean, big sports guy, I saw as well. Grew up, born, I guess, in South Bend, Indiana. I'm a big Notre Dame fan as well. So shout out to the Irish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and
you know,
maybe we'll win a big game at some point in our lifetime.
Getting really close.
We're getting close, but no cigar. Also wanted to talk to you. So when the pandemic hit, right, a lot of people were kind of figuring out what their next project was. How did this all come about for you? You know, and how has it been adjusting as an actor, looking to find work and to keep working and keep fulfilling your creative needs while everyone was locked down for a year?
Yeah, it was challenging. I was actually doing another show called Claws, and we got just shut down in the middle of it. And all of a sudden you were like, I've never in my life had, you know, 4 months of just hanging out. By the fall, they had figured out the proper protocols on how we could get back and try to work, which is very strange doing acting with a mask on, by the way.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We shot this pilot in October. And we had masks on until the very moment that the cameras started rolling. Then we would take the masks off, which was obviously very strange. But you know, we managed to do it. A lot of people were able to work. We still get tested every day. We get twice on Tuesday and Friday.
Amazing.
So they have a really strict protocols. But you know, it's getting people back to work. So it's worked out so far.
Dean, tell me about your golf game, because I've played my whole life. I played in college. My partner has just gotten into it big time the past year. He's as passionate as I've ever seen someone now about the game of golf. But I understand you're a golfer yourself. You love it. Where do you love to play? Give me the status of your game right now.
Yeah. Man, God, we can talk golf forever, huh? Yeah. I played a decent round. If you played in college, you're on a different level.
He is.
But I shot an 82 yesterday.
Nice. Yes.
Which I take is a good round for me.
100%.
Yeah, it's been worse and hasn't been much better. If I, you know, I'll go through where I maybe hit in the 79, 80, 81. But then, you know, it's golf, man. Then you go out there and you shoot a 95.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck, you know?
Makes no sense.
It's such a great game, and I play everywhere. I try to play, you know, I'm in Southern California, so different places. And I take trips with my buddies out to the desert, and we go up to, and we'll also go to Mesquite, you know, play Wolf Creek and these other places. And I love taking golf trips, you know. It's you got a good foursome that you can hang with, and you know, you go and you explore different courses all around the country. So,
well, Dean, not to put you on the spot, we're having our tournament in November. We will send you an invite. Please come if you are so inclined, my friend. We would love to have you. We're also here in Southern California, and it just makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd love to play.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your time today.
Finally, because I always have to ask one more question. How do I get my hands on some Schrader Brow?
Well, it was kind of a limited engagement thing, but we're going to try to bring it back for October Fest. So we'll see if we get it done by then.
I'll be looking for it. Right in time for our golf tournament. Perfect.
Yes.
You can bring us a six-pack.
Sponsor.
Perfect. I love it. Dean Norris, his new show is called The United States of Al, Thursday nights on CBS. Looking forward to it, man, and it was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
Take care.
It.
That was Dean Norris on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Great, too.
That was terrific.
Thought that
great
went pretty
too.
Well, actually.
I did, too. I thought he was great.
You know how these work is they've got like 10-minute windows. You know, probably be doing radio stations
all day
across the country, one after another, to come with that energy, knowing he's gonna get similar questions. People are gonna ask him about Hank Schrader and Breaking Bad, and
so it's like a webinar. It's just one show / podcast to the next. And I was listening in during "Don't Do This," make sure we don't miss any cues or anything. And sure enough, he had maybe 10 seconds in between his last answer on his last hit and our introduction to him. And you know, it's the same 5 questions all day long, but he brought it.
He did. He brought it really well. Very good. I hope we at least asked him a couple of, like, I don't think he got a ton of golf questions.
Probably not.
From everybody else. But 82.
God, what I would do for an 82.
You'll be there. You'll be there at some point.
Will I? I keep hearing
that. By our tournament, I think you and Dean would be a great match by the time we get to our tournament and you've shaved a few more strokes off your kind of everyday score. You're going to be going up against Dean Norris in our tournament in November.
Yeah, it's the most frustrating love affair of my life, though. There's no question about it. Golf is no doubt the most frustrating love affair. Oh, so confusing.
Padres are a close second.
They are getting there, man.
In terms of frustration
right
now.
They are getting there, yes.
We'll talk about that frustration after this check of traffic with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. So many ways you can stream Padres baseball. You can use the Odyssey app on your smartphone, smart speaker, or tablet, or listen live at 97.3thefansd.com. Woodsy, I think we broke a little early to get to Dean Norris, and now Woodsy thought, oh, we're at the bottom of the hour and we've got a break here. No, we're going all the way until the top of the hour, finishing this long. I've got a long segment. We still have,
Woodsy,
13 minutes
scene,
until our next break.
What was your favorite Hank Schrader scene from Breaking Bad? There was a few that you could choose from. I'm curious what you thought.
I mean, he just so quickly just hopped up and walked out of the studio without even asking, are we going to a break here? Because the answer would have been no.
He's going to come back, no. What's going on? Are you going to start without me?
We're not going. We never went to a break.
We start without you because we never ended.
He'll probably be back in like 3 or 4 minutes cruising in. Oh, we're back already? It's like we never left, Woods. You left in the middle of our segment. I think the biggest surprise to me, it's not the Padres' struggles with runners in scoring position. That happens to teams from time to time, and I do believe that's going to turn at some point. It's not necessarily the individual struggles of Tommy Pham or even Fernando Tatis Jr. struggling.
Hey, welcome back to your show.
We never went to break. Why did you just leave in the middle of our segment? You just walked out in the middle of our segment and left.
We just hit the bottom of the hour traffic.
We never went to break, and you just left.
40 seconds.
Really? In the middle of the show.
We're out at like, 56 here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's we're like 12 minutes before you've got a chance to take a little
break.
I'll
be right back. I need something.
I can't believe I just did that.
That's okay. I was just about to reveal what my biggest surprise is for the Padres so far this season. It's not the lack of runners in scoring position hits. It's the lack of power. Padres had first week, they looked like, okay, pick up where they left off, a lot of home runs. And since then, there's been like no slugging percentage. Padres got out-homered by the Brewers in this last series. 7-0. Got out-homered on the homestand, 11-2. This is a team that should have plenty of power. I mean, they have 30-type home run guys with Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Will Myers, and then the other guys in the lineup. You know, there should be, 10 to 25 home run guys up and down the lineup as well. Trent Grisham, I think, can be a, 2020 type player.
Yep.
Who's,
Hosmer.
He came with 3 home runs. His first 3 haven't seen anything since. Hosmer should be a 20 to 25 home run guy. Pham should be a 20, 25 home. I don't think he has one all season so far. Where's the power for this Padres team? What happened when they make contact and drive it to the outfield? It just seems like every ball is dying at the warning track this year. Balls that were flying out of the yard last year are dying, and you can say, well, they changed the baseball. Yeah, they did, but they changed them for everyone, and the Brewers hit 7 home runs in this series, and the Padres hit none.
It's got to even out.
Where is the power?
It's got to even out. You know, it's got to even out. The law of averages says that it's not going to continue to be this bad, Ben. It doesn't make any sense right now. I do lean more towards the, I would love to see more power, obviously. That being said, for me, the biggest surprise are the ungodly bad numbers with runners in scoring position. I can't remember seeing anything really like this. So they're the worst in Major League Baseball with 157 men left on. They're the worst in Major League Baseball with 18 errors. They're the worst in Major League Baseball in grounded into double plays. They're the worst in the National League in slugging, as you just mentioned. Runners in scoring position, 37 for 179. It's astounding. It's astounding how bad they've been. That being said, conversely, they're first in Major League Baseball in ERA and strikeouts from their pitchers.
And, and at least until yesterday, first in walks as well. They're getting on base. So I think the big question is, are they not being aggressive enough? I know their whole plan is, you know, emulate the Dodgers. Don't swing at pitches out of the zone. Don't get yourself out by chasing pitches out of the zone. And they've done a good job of that. But has it also led to too much passivity at the plate, where, like Tommy Pham yesterday, you got a pitch right down the middle, you're not pulling the trigger because you're looking for walks rather than hits. And it's a fine line. Last year, I thought they walked that line beautifully. They drew their walks, but when the pitches were there in the zone, they drove them. They attacked. They attacked those pitches that were there to be attacked. This year, it feels like, yeah, they're doing a great job controlling the zone, as Jay Stengel likes to say. But when they get the pitches, then they're not attacking. They're not doing the same thing they were last year. And to me, that's the big difference so far with the 2021 Padres.
Well, and, you know, you start to press. You start to press really, really hard. And you get up there and you're panicked because you know it's been bad. You know it's on you to come through. And no one is really, you know, I think other than Hosmer driving in some runs. Even, you know, he had his chances yesterday, too. And Josh Hader's a tall order, but, you know, swinging at ball four at your eyes to end the game.
Well, again, and that's, see, now he was attacking, and that's not the way to get out of it either, is swinging at pitches that are way out of the zone.
Exactly.
That you've got no hope of hitting.
Right.
You still have to be selective, but you have to be ready to hit the pitches that you can hit. And it feels like if there's one thing that's been missing, it's been those attacks. Getting on base helps score runs. I understand the strategic idea behind being selective. It also forces pitchers to come into you. When the Padres loaded the bases in the eighth inning yesterday, nobody out, 3-0 count. You had Brad Boxberger, and then they brought in Fire 11 or whatever his name was. All you saw, really, was straight fastballs.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford to throw anything else. They couldn't.
Can't bounce
they,
one.
They couldn't
don't
bounce
walk,
one.
Yeah.
You know, Padres aren't going to chase, so they knew they had to pretty much lay it in there with fastballs down the middle. If the Padres had to know that and be ready to attack those pitches, and the fact that they didn't, I thought this is the best situation you can be in. You're ahead in the count. There's nowhere to put you. They don't want to walk you. You're going to get a fastball pretty much down the middle. And they did. They got a bunch of them. They got like eight fastballs, and then Caratini struck out on a change, I think, on the last pitch. Other than that, it was all fastballs either taken or swung right through, doing no damage on the pitches that you absolutely have to be doing damage on. And that, to me, is the shocker right now, that they're not taking advantage of the pitches they should be taking advantage of.
I agree. And some people, Ben, I've seen a lot of this the last few days, and really a lot of this the last few years about the constant shuffling of the lineup. So, Benny, I've got something. I tweeted it this morning. The guy that says we've been shuffling our too much and that's not the recipe for success, I've got some numbers. Do you want to hear these numbers?
I do.
All right, Paulie, I need some music for this. I think.
Music?
Yeah, I want like music, all right? Or like a drum roll, something. I don't know, not a drum roll. Give me something, just a little background here. Perfect. So we've all seen that guy, right? The guy talking about, hey, listen, these guys can't get comfortable. Tingler keeps messing with the lineup every day. Those people are out there. I was one of those guys for many, many years. So what I did is I went back, Benny, I pulled the last 10 World Series champion teams, right? The best of the best. Nobody better. Let's start in 2011. The 2011 Cardinals, managed by Tony La Russa, used in 162-game regular season, 126 lineups. The 2012 Giants, managed by Bruce Bochy, used 112.
Old school as it gets.
Old school as it gets. They used 112 different lineups. The Red Sox, John Farrell, 2013, 126. The Giants again, Bruce Bochy, 131. Here's an outlier in 2015. You're right. The Kansas City Royals, they only rolled out 83, so they had a lot of continuity in that team. The 2016 Cubs with Joe Maddon, 130 different lineups in 162 games. A.J. Hinch, it's Joe. 2017 Astros. Aided, of course, with knowing what pitch was coming. Still used 144. Different lineups in 162 games. The Red Sox in 18, 134. The Nationals in 2019, 106. The Dodgers last year, 57 different lineups in 60 games. This year, so far, the Padres have used 20 different lineups in 20 games. The Dodgers have used 18 different lineups in 18 games. It's not the... There is no, oh, he's my three-hole guy anymore. It just doesn't work that way anymore. And it's clearly not the recipe for success. Continuity in a lineup just doesn't... It's not what it is. So we can take that off the let's fire Tingler for, you know, Jigger in the lineup every day. Because it's not what it is. Guys got to hit. They got to hit with runners in scoring position. You got to get guys over. You got to get them in. It sounds moronic and obvious, but if the Padres were hitting 113 as a team with a 225 on base percentage, that's a bigger problem. They're on base. They're just not scoring.
It's not as though when Jace Tingler is putting out the lineups that he's wildly changing things. Trent Grisham can feel pretty confident if he's in the lineup. He's leading off. Fernando Tatis Jr. is probably going to be batting second or maybe third, but usually second or third. Manny Machado, third or fourth. Eric Hosmer, fourth or fifth. Will Myers, anywhere from fourth to sixth. I really don't think it's that big of a deal for players to move one spot up or down in a lineup one day. It's not as though I forgot I was coming up. I wasn't ready. I didn't know I was up because the manager keeps moving me around in the lineup. I've never heard a baseball player say that once.
Not since like the 70s, maybe the 80s.
So I don't think it's lineup consistency, Woods, that it's the problem right now for the Padres. It's not squaring up on the baseballs and driving them into gaps and over the fences. It's slugging percentage. This team should not be last in baseball in slugging percentage.
No question. No question.
That's crazy that they're last in baseball in slugging percentage. Crazy. It is nuts with the kind of hitters that they have and as hard as they hit it. I guarantee you they're not last in exit velocity. I think they're actually pretty high. They hit the ball hard, yet they get nothing for it. That's very weird. I mean, you can say, is it unlucky? Is there something inherently flawed? I know Eric Hosmer hits the ball, you know, low launch angle, so he hits a lot of hard ground outs. Manny Machado seems like he's hit a lot of, you know, hard grounders and lower line drives, so they're not elevating over the wall this year, but they're hitting it hard, and isn't that supposed to be the point of hitting? You can't necessarily put it exactly where you want to. The job of a hitter is to hit the ball as hard as you possibly can, hopefully on a line or with a little bit of launch that gets it over the yard. Padres have been hitting it hard. They're not getting the results that usually come with hitting the ball hard
yep.
this year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And look, we said it in the opening break. It's frustrating. I get it. You have every right to feel frustrated. I'm really frustrated. It's a frustrating watch right now. I know those guys are frustrated. You can't help but be frustrated. But, again, this isn't a bad baseball team. They're just playing badly. They're a good baseball team. They get on base a lot, and they have really good pitching. They're a really good baseball team. They're just not getting the wins right now. That's basically it at this point. But they're a good baseball team, and we've got the pitching to go the distance. Offense got to do its part.
All right, I looked up on StatCast. Padres are seventh in baseball in average exit velocity
okay.
on their balls in play at 89.7 miles per hour. So they are among the elite in baseball at hitting the ball hard, and yet they have the lowest slugging percentage in baseball. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense that a team that isn't hitting the ball as hard, they all have better slugging percentages than the Padres.
Yep.
That has to change at some point.
Yeah, it will. It will, and it's got to level out. It will even out. I am still worried about the squad because I don't want to give up on them because I still love them very much, but I am concerned and I am frustrated.
Also, if you look at the number of balls hit over 95 miles per hour, Padres are number one by a wide margin. No one has hit more balls over 95 miles per hour than the Padres. The Red Sox, who've scored a ton of runs, are second. They're 19 behind the Padres
yep.
in that category. It's going to change, right?
Yep.
It's going to turn.
How about tonight?
That would be great. I would love to see it. We got 1 hour left. It's Ben and Woods. Dip S tweets next on 97.3 The Fan.